Thank you, Lord, that I have the mind of Christ. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you that you're our God. Lord, place it in our heart to want more of you than we want of anything else in our life. Draw us closer, Father. Place in us a hunger to draw closer to you, Father, every day. Let it be so pervasive in our spirit, Lord, that everything else drops to the wayside as we cry out to you, Father. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that for each and every one of us, Lord, because I know when we get that spiritual hunger, that great and mighty things happen because of it. Nations change. Worlds change. And we praise you and we thank you for doing that in each of us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for bringing in all these new people that are already starting to knock on the doors. Lord, we thank you for your angels that we have learned that can do a mighty service to mankind. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for the work that they're doing, even as we speak right now. Thank you, Lord, for allowing your people to understand the service of the angels. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord, that new revelations will come forth for us, Lord, and that we would talk about the things that you would want us to talk about. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you for all the prayers that's going to be answered tonight. That's going to be all of them. Because we believe, Lord, that when we pray, we're going to receive. And we thank you, Father, for all the mountains that's going to be moved out of the way. In Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing throughout your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I would like to pray. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I got an update that involves a prayer request. Alex, I put on in the chat that Alex was hit by a truck, and here to come find out, I was just like thinking a pickup truck or something or whatever. Here it was a semi. He was sitting at a light or something. I don't know. It wasn't. It scared him. I mean, it didn't. He didn't get hurt or nothing, but. So the insurance company said that it was totaled because it wasn't it was an 09, and it doesn't take much to total 09, just because the cost of getting it fixed is just as not much, just as much if not more than what it's worth. So Lord, I just pray that you help Alex in this process, and I thank you, Lord, that he'll him and Merle help him with this, Lord, and that this will be a good experience for both of them and a bonding time, Lord, and that Alex and Merle help them to make a good wise decision on what Alex gets, and that Merle learns a lot through this process of buying a vehicle. And I thank you, Lord, for using this to bond them together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Amen. Just want to add that. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for going before Merle and Alex and showing great favor there, Lord, with the sales department, whatever vehicle they go looking at, Lord, that you're going to give them an awesome deal. And it's going to be something that Alex is happy with, and make, model, color, all of that stuff. And you got the exact vehicle picked out for him. And I thank you, Lord, for a great favor there. In Jesus' name.
I didn't mean it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Matthew. I was checking out some.
I got a little testimony today. So at work, we have this process that we do. We have boxed kits with fiberglass in them that we store in my warehouse. Well, in order to get that kit from my warehouse, you fill out paperwork. And some days would be better than others, but they'd be coming back there 4 or 5 times, filling out paperwork at separate times, which isn't really a big deal when I'm not busy. But when I'm busy, they always come when I'm the busiest. It is quite frustrating at times. And yesterday I had one of those frustrating times. I wasn't going to let it out. I was just, like, okay, I'm just dealing with it. And at the end of my shift yesterday, instead of just telling my boss while I was frustrated, I just like, you know what? Here's the paperwork. I'm going home. See you. I've had enough of this place for today. And so I went back to work today. And at the end of my shift today, I went up to the office, turned in my paperwork, and my boss is like, he says that we are no longer going to be doing that multiple time coming back there just to get these kits. They're only allowed one time. And I'm just like, thank you, Lord. He's like, there is no reason why they should be going back there multiple times a day when they're supposed to get everything that they need the day before. And I was like, agreed.
Praise God.
So I didn't fight it. I wasn't going to fight it. I was just like, Lord, it's just in your hands. And then the next day, it's fixed. So
You, Lord. That's
praise the
awesome.
Lord.
Lord, take care of you. You didn't have to say a word, did you? Amen. Just look disgusted at the whole bunch of us. I mean, that's okay. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Lord, we just praise you. Thank you for doing that for us before we even ask. All right. What, anybody else got something they'd like to? Yeah, Judy.
Lord, I just want to thank you for continuing to do great, mighty things for us, Lord, and bringing down the deep states, taking out these Satanists,
Amen.
bringing an end to all this crazy rioting and the lunacy that's behind it all, Lord, and the way they're behaving and all these things. I haven't actually been looking, but I'm just believing by faith it's being handled. Lord, thank you, Lord, for all the Department of ICE and the FBI and everybody, the police and military who are doing their work, Lord, to get all of these criminals, all these illegals, and getting them out of the country. Thank you, Lord, for the timing of everything, Lord, and exposing all this, these lies and deception everyone's been believing with the EBS and that they're idols and all the people that they were been worshiping and and think when we're great, everything they're gonna it's all gonna come out, exactly who they are, what they are, they've been doing, and people will be repenting. Pray that in the name of Jesus, and I believe you're working. I thank you, Lord, for having us all ready with answers, Lord, and pointing the direction to you. When people have questions, Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It looks like I was watching a little bit of a clip. It looks like the LA police are now starting to move the crowd out of the ways. They are really doing a pretty good job of it, too. And, they're shooting and they're moving. They're bringing the horses in, too. You bring those horses in, they ain't gonna mess with them. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw this, any of this. I don't know if it was on national news or not. Probably because they're victimizing the ones that are causing the problems. They're trying to block cars from moving through and all that kind of stuff, and making themselves a human roadblock. And then people just getting frustrated and whatever, and just like, you can't keep doing this. And people are getting run over and knocked out of the way by people in vehicles. And of course, the news are painting it as a bad picture of these people, these MAGA people that are doing this, and that these poor victims are getting run over, and this is wrong. And I saw another clip where this, I think she was Hispanic, but apparently she had her infant there, her, I don't know, toddler, we'll say, I don't even know, but that there was, the police were using tear gas and all that stuff. Well, the child got, was crying and all this stuff because it got some tear gas. And it's like this poor victim, their child. I'm like, what are you doing bringing a child to a protest, a riot like this? This is like, they just want to twist everything around. So, Lord, thank you for straightening everything out. And these people are not doing anything that makes sense. And you can't just expect to use your body as a shield and expect a car to keep stopping and stopping and stopping. And just like, it's ludicrous what they're doing, Lord. And it's, thank you, Lord, for delivering your people from these deceiving, lying demons that are causing them to behave the way they are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I remember what the Florida sheriff said. He said, if you block traffic, don't be surprised if you go down the road. See? We'll call your parents or your peoples. Tell them where you are. That's the attitude you got to have with these crazies like that. You got to have a real no nonsense approach to them. I don't understand what they think they're doing. Well, I mean, they were blocking roads to the hospital. Not that the hospital is a good thing, but I'm just saying. They were blocking roads to the hospital, and people were getting mad. They were getting out of their cars, dragging these people by the hair, by the arm, whatever, getting them out of the way. And going on through. The people themselves are getting sick of it. So that's a good thing. Lord, we thank you for clearing this bunch out, taking all their money, getting all their money from paying these people $200 a day. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, yeah, Missy.
I want to pray about Iran and Israel. Father, we just ask you to assist in taking down this Iranian government and setting the people free from the bondage they've been under in the name of Jesus. And we just ask you to do it as quickly as possible. And free them up, Lord, to be able to have freedom of religion and to freedom to preach the gospel, Lord, and bring even more people into the kingdom, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I noticed Trump had told him today, he said, Ayatollah Khomeini, we know where you live. Angel, that's all he said. We know where you live. So what, and the indication was that let us line up with what we want here. Because they've already taken out most of the high people in the government. Yeah, Missy.
I'm sorry, I never muted, so I muted myself.
Well, that was good. We were satisfied with that.
I caught a piece on the TV earlier that the one military guy that was taken out last week, the guy that replaced him was taken out also, you
Oh,
know. So,
yeah.
Lord, we also ask you, Lord, that they just run out of people to replace them that are going to be monsters. I don't know. There's this word I can't think of right now, but they're just going to be not just going to treat the people horrible. And we just ask you to just infiltrate and take out all the bad eggs in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they didn't take the guy that is now the head of the royal family as the Shah and put him in there as the head of the country. He's not Muslim and he's not religious. He just wants what's best for the country. And that would be great if they could do that. He's in the same family that the Shah of Iran was back in 79. Same family, royal family of Iran. For the most part, most of Iranians, they love America. They love the West. They love the West. They're sick of these Ayatollahs. These mullahs taking control and putting them under all this pressure that they have to all the time go through. Because it's nothing but a terrorist group anyway. All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a comment before I get to the music? Okay, I'm gonna play some music.
Myself in the
I love that song. That's a good song. We played it last night. Was good. Okay, has anybody got anything they want to share? A comment or answer or question? What's the Lord showing you? Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Okay, Missy.
I've been thinking about and pondering about what real freedom is.
What is?
Well,
Can you get up closer to the microphone? There you go.
what got me thinking about that is the word that the Lord gave to Debbie about I think it was the worship or whatever, and saying about you know what freedom is or something. I can't, but
Well,
anyway,
she's here.
yeah. But what came to my mind was let me 2 Corinthians 3. Hold on a second here. 2 Corinthians 3.
2 Corinthians, what?
Sec. Wait a minute here. let's see here. I'm trying to find it. Okay, starting at verse 12, 2 Corinthians 3:12. Having therefore such a hope, we use
Wait
great
a
hope.
minute, Missy. Did you say 2 Corinthians 2:12?
3:12.
Okay. Let's wait till we get on, wait till people get up to it so we can read with you. Okay, go ahead.
Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness of speech, and are not as Moses, who put a veil upon his face, that to children of Israel should not look steadfastly on the end of that which was passing away. And what's passing away is our old man. Yay, thank you, Lord. It's my old man. Moses's old man, okay, which is the law that's passing away, that the law requires my works, the law, and it's the flesh that tries, that does, it's my old man, the flesh. It's not God's works, it's my works. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains, it not being revealed to them that it is done away in Christ. Woohoo! Why? Because I was crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Yay! Praise you, Jesus. But unto this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies upon their heart. And this is what really, well, no, not quite yet. But whensoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And some versions say freedom. Anyway, I went and looked that up, and I thought this was pretty cool. Thayer's gives the definition of one of the definitions is true liberty is living as we should, not as we please. Because as we please, as I please, it's by my flesh. But I want to please the Lord, and I want to live by the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. And that just, what got, actually what got me, now I'm remembering what got me to look to that, in Jeremiah, it says about, is Jeremiah, yeah, let me turn my light on here. What got me thinking about that verse was from Jeremiah 31, where it says, Jeremiah 19, th 31, 19 says, surely after that I was turned, maybe I want to start sooner than, I'm sorry. Okay, no, Jeremiah 31, 18, I want to start there. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, you have chastised me and I was chastised as a calf accustomed to the yoke. Turn you me and I shall be turned, for you are the Lord my God. Verse 19, surely after that I was turned, I repented. That made me think of God, I've learned that God grants repentance, and you can't repent unless he grants you repentance. So him granting that repentance, granting you repentance, is turning your heart to him. He turns your heart to him. I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thighs. I was ashamed, yes, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. But that's what got me, where it says, turn me and I shall be turned. It made me think of, where the spirit of the Lord there, whenever the heart is turned to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Okay. And where the spirit of the Lord there is freedom or liberty. And that's what got me over to the Second Corinthians there. And I just thought that definition of true liberty was pretty cool. True liberty is living as we should, not as we please. I thought, oh, that's cool. Anyway, I can't quite put it all into words, but I hope that blessed y'all, because it blessed me. So.
What do you mean?
Thank you, Lord.
That was good, Missy. Thank you. The enemy's always trying to accuse of everything. He's before the throne of God, because accusing is day and night, right? He's always trying to make you feel or think or feel that you're doing something to earn grace or whatever. He's got all kinds of stuff that he attacks our minds with. At least he does me. And I just thank you, Lord, that there is freedom. We walk in you, and it's no longer us who live, it's Christ who lives in us. So, and Jesus does make us free. And whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And we don't have to listen to those voices and say, yeah, but you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And look how you spent your time and yada, yada, yada. Anyway. We're free. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. You're going down a little bit too. The new covenants he's brought in. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I kind of like the truth will set you free. And it was just the other day on Signal, we had a wonderful re representation of truth being read. I read it today. And I was reading the other day the third letter of John, and it says there, no greater grace do I have than to see my children walking in the truth. And we have a Holy Spirit that's going to teach us all things, according to the same apostle John, over there in where it says he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, and he's going to teach us all things and remind us of what he taught us. So I don't see really a problem with being reminded of the truth. We have a covenant that God told Moses, our covenant. Yeah, read it in Hebrews chapter 8. God told Moses our covenant. Way back in the days of Moses, he told them the new covenant over there in chapter 8 of Hebrews. And he said there, you know, that he was going to, the covenant that he was going to do was he was going to put the law in our minds and in our hearts. So when someone comes up and tries to be really sly with you and tries to get you to believe in something, or you got to accept this because all of Canada is accepting it, okay? But it's not God's truth that would set you free, and it's not God's word. And you don't accept something, because if you accept something that's wrong, then you're accepting something that you're not supposed to love. You know, you accept your spouse coming down the aisle there when you're getting married. You don't accept something that's wrong. And so the truth that will set you walking in this truth, well, just how much truth is in the word? You know, you get all the fruits of the Spirit. You get all the gifts of the Spirit. You get all the blessings of the Spirit. It's all the truth. This is our desire. We want those gifts. We want the fruit of the Spirit. We want the blessings. And a blessing would be, of course, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And of course, righteousness is what you live by. So we want the truth that will give us life, you know, and the life is Christ, of course. And we want to be holy, and we're promised holiness. He that calleth you is holy, so be ye therefore holy in all your behavior. And the behavior is, again, all the truth of those fruits of the Spirit in Galatia chapter 5. You don't want the other fruit. But you see, God has to deal with us with his right hand and his left hand. I think he kind of gives us a little bit of spanking with his left hand, and he kind of gives us a hug with his right hand. And, you know, there's the leading vessel of honor at one hand, and he has to do it that way, because that's the fruit Adam and Eve ate of good and evil. That's why you got the fruits of the flesh spirit. Then after that, you got the fruits of God's spirit, because that's the order it came in. You know, they ate the fruit of the tree, the forbidden tree, and then we get the fruit of Christ. Because, and the fruit is the truth. The truth will set you free. You know, a lot of people can quote God's word. They'll say, oh, you know, that guy, he's the Antichrist. And then they'll turn around and tell you, oh, I don't believe the Bible's the word of God. So why are you using the word Antichrist? You know? So if you're not going to say it's the word of God, then you can't use any of that word. If it's the word of God to you, then you can use the word of God. So that's the dilemma. I don't know how we got thousands and thousands and thousands of denominations all separated on their own narrative. I still scratch my head at that sometimes, and I was going, Lord, did it really have to be that way? I guess it did. But I'm just going, wow, you know. I think if it is 40,000 and there's like only 400 pages in the Bible, because it's double-sided, you know, you can fit it on 8.5, 11, 200 sheets of paper. You know, if it's 32,000 or 40,000 denominations, how many denominations per page, man? More than verses. Oh, so you know, if I say word to you, how does the dictionary define the word word, and how does the Bible Because the dictionary is not good. They don't know how to, they don't know the definition of the word church in the dictionary. They got our definition for our century. They got denomination in there as definition for church. Do you imagine that? You know, that's a goof up, I think. Church is what? Come on now. It's called out the truth. Called out of what? The nations into the kingdom. So why do the nations want to call you back in to the nations and say it's a Christian nation? So I'm perplexed sometimes at some of the things people have come up with, you know, some of the basic simple things. And I get fearful for the people. And I go, like, is there anything else, Lord, that I might need to know here that is kind of needs to be vacuumed out of me so I can have the truth put in me? So I really liked that. I was just sitting in the park with my phone and just reading through all that stuff from the quote from that book, and I was going, truth, truth, truth. And this isn't the first time I went to Third John. And I was going, truth, you know, the love of the truth, you know. And it's got that word commandment in there, you know. It's not commandments. What is that commandment when it's singular? You know, and of course, there are people, you know, they read through it so fast, and you know, it's very true, you know. And as for, you know, the law, well, I was reading some of Colossians chapter 2 today, and he says that that law, the ordinances, are on the cross. Keep them there because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. We got the truth. The law is holy, but you know, you can go through all of that stuff in Romans chapter 7, you know. I did this, but I didn't really mean to do it, you know? Or however he words it there, you know. And then the last verse he tells you that it's not the law, that it's in Christ Jesus, and then it's right back to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that freed us from the law of sin and death. See, the law of the Spirit of life. So if it's the Spirit of life, then you got to know this by spirit, by water, and by blood. Because those are all spiritual entities. Because if you want to get washed and get in God's bathtub, it's got all his letters in there and all his words. And that's what you're washing yourself with, but you're also washed in the life of his of the blood of Christ. You know, and it's the Spirit of Christ. You come, do I have, do you have to get, when you got dunked in that water, okay, it was in the name, in the name, and in the name, all three of them. And you've got the witness of the Spirit, the water, and the blood. So, like, I know it's kind of like a messy saying, but did he have to drown you when he baptized you? You know, we're being immersed now in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, to get all that stuff, the gifts of the Spirit, the blessings of the Spirit, the fruit of this, the fruit is what you want. That's what you take with you. You know, we're not going to need to speak in tongues in heaven. So that's why love is so important. We got to obey our Father. We got to reverence him. We got to honor him. We want the truth. We want to love the truth. You know, if you don't have all of the truth, you still got to love it anyway until you get it. Am I like wrong here? Because, you know, if you're going to have the truth to set you free, then You have to walk in the truth. And when a church father, the Apostle John, saw them walking in truth, and he gives an example on that same page of Third John of someone who isn't, and the other Demetrius guy who is, you know, then we better learn what the truth is. Because if the truth is just ink on a paper, then we better read Second Corinthians, the whole page. And it's not engraved in stone. And it circumcises you. The truth will circumcise your heart. It's kind of cool on how it all layers into each other, you know, and I just want the Lord so much to, you know, when you go through something that's you're trying to figure out why this person is this way or that person is that way, how many different truths are there? You know, everyone, oh, that's the Baptist Jesus over there, and that's the Roman Catholic Jesus over there. And let's have a Methodist Jesus and a Wesleyan Jesus and a Lutheran Jesus, you know. Well, there's only one Jesus. Why don't they just get back to Jesus? Are they too proud to admit that they have something wrong? Is that it? Or are they too shy because they might have something right, you know? I don't know. Like, I'm sure glad it's God who has to figure all this out. Because, you know, and when he does, he better download me for some stuff here, because I need the truth to set me free, and I need him to remind me. I need to show him that, him to show me that he's sovereign over all things. I need him when I'm discouraged. There was a real cool encouragement verse I found. I wish I could remember where it was. He'll tell me when I need it. Anyways, praise and glory to God for truth. Praise and glory to God for just wanting us to have the truth all the time. That sets us free. You know, for freedom you were set free. That's the first verse in Galatia 5 and 1, I think. And of course, there's the one Missy got there, you know, with the liberty. Now, you Americans, do I have to go get that $5 bill? I know what it says. But it ain't that $5 bill. That's your God. Come on now. And liberty. It ain't a statue in New York Harbor. And it's not government's truth or liberty. Because they have a different kind of thought on how you might want to get that. Now I know you got rid of all the redcoats, but you know what? I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but you know, there's just so much that's upside down. We better have the truth of what kingdom we belong to and what we seek first. The truth, really. And oh, they're always trying to throw some kettle in the fish there that says, well, what about this, you know? They want to make you think their way, and they want you to accept something that might be sort of sounds good, but you know, it's not really the truth. And we need the Lord to remind us when we pull out our sword and how to use it in battle. And you know, Should I be apologizing for the truth? I saw that guy, they call him apologetic. I don't. Do you really think that Jesus has to apologize to the ones? He said some nasty stuff about them Pharisees there, but I think he wanted to spook them with the Holy Ghost spook, that they need to understand, did Paul apologize to Peter when Peter got up from the table and left these Gentiles at the table, to eat their ham sandwiches? Anyway, he get up the table there, and Paul, I think they used that word dissimulation, There was only one guy who was going to correct them, and that was Paul. I know we could correct them, but we weren't there. We read the book. But only Paul was going to be the one who corrected him, because God wanted to prove to the rest of them he's an apostle. And look, he took the Pharisee, who a former Pharisee, to correct these fishermen, Like, you'd think he'd be on the Pharisees, but he wasn't, he this is a dissimulation. Very polite way of saying it, too. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then that, so maybe God made Peter get up from that chair for some reason. Because he didn't want Peter afraid of these people who came from the first covenant and are in the church too now. Because, in chapter 15, they were still there. Oh, you got to follow the law of Moses and get them all circumcised, Well, you better be circumcised, but let's do it the Colossians chapter 2 way of being circumcised, And it's your baptism too at the same time. So, wow, I don't. I know it's good that God teaches us, and he's getting the credit for everything, and I just thank the Lord for everything, and I thank the Lord for getting us ready. I thank the Lord for giving us a good watch over what's happening. And I thank the Lord that he's going to continue to do this with us. I know someone who's watching really well, and he's telling us about some of the things on Friday, what he watches about. On the meetings too, on Wednesday, Lord, and on Sunday, they watch pretty good, and they tell us some of the things, and people have wonderful dreams, might as well be parables that these dreams. He's telling you how to do a parable and how to discern your parables in your dreams. So thank you for that, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for showing us those things that were in the past, that you're going to do them again in the future. It's just the cast of characters are a little bit different. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that there are people blaspheming you already. So I know that a future time is going to come where it actually comes to fruition in the great tribulation, Lord. But as it says in chapter 13, but we're not there yet, so they still have a chance to repent. And I pray, Lord, that they would repent of their blasphemies. We're supposed to love everybody, Lord, and we're supposed to love these people in the government. I know not all of them are going to make it, but we want them to have it right too. We're supposed to be praying for our leaders, and we need they need help too. They may not understand this spirit of the word idea, where the spirit of the word gives life, the letter killeth. So Lord, we need the truth to set us free. We need the truth, because we need the grace from you to walk in this truth. And we know, Lord, that truth is instantaneous and progressive, because that's the way it was even with the apostle, the church father Peter, and Paul. And help us, Lord. Lead us, guide us, and be with us. Keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Andrew, the latest figure that I've seen just a while ago about the denominations. There's 45,000 of them in the world now, so it's growing daily. But let me ask you a question.
That's just
How
like
many?
inflation, you know? I don't know. Maybe they need Count Dracula over there in the House of Commons for a finance minister or something. You know, I don't know. Like
Well,
Sesame
the
Street.
question I would ask is how many does Jesus see? He only sees one.
Yeah. But seven of them for Ephesians 4 and 4 to 4 and 6, one body. Once all of
One.
seven was
Yep.
yeah. So what
Yeah,
was the
he only
question?
sees one.
Yeah, there's only one faith. It says one faith. Don't blaspheme one faith. It says that right in 4 and 5 of Ephesians. One faith, one baptism. Remember, I was at a bus stop once and they asked me where I was baptized, and the Lord stopped me from answering, and then I said I was baptized in water, and then he went, no, what denomination do you belong to? And then I answered, hesitated the same amount of time, and I said to him, what's a denomination? They all frowned and turned around and walked. It's five people did that to me at the bus stop, and I'm just saying, you know what, did you? And that was before I knew about the seven ones in Ephesians 4 and 4 to 4 and 6. You know, and one body, one spirit, one hope of the hope of your calling. You better get called. One Lord, I believe that's Jesus, just because of the last one. One faith. Now, if you want to be a blasphemer and say there's more than one, because somebody has it right. Somebody has it wrong, and we want the truth. One baptism, it's not a club membership. You know, it's not the Bahama Club there where you want to go to the Bahamas every year. And one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. And if you don't believe he's in you, then you better believe he's in you. Because if any love Jesus, he's going to love his the word he gives to you, and the Father will love you, and we will come and make our abode with you. So, and in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, he tells you about a what agreement you have with an idol, or with the sanctuary. Know ye not that ye are the sanctuary of God? And God saith that I dwell in you and walk. So puts a whole new meaning to walking in the truth. And who's doing it? And how it's, I mean, Peter got a wonderful revelation from God, and then he goofed right after it. And the Jesus, get behind me, Satan. You know, oh man, oh God revealed that to you, Peter, that I am the Messiah, you know. And then right away he messed up, you know. And like, you know, there's a reason why, you know, because you need the blood of the Lamb, you need the Holy Spirit in you. He had it on him, and he was clean because of what Jesus said. So when you look up that born again, you better think about the blood of Jesus, because he's describing that to Nicodemus. And there's no blood yet from Jesus. There's no blood of the Lamb that you overcome with. In the definition there, there's only the Spirit and the water. And we need creation. We need blood too. We need Emmanuel, not the Emmanuel, which is the baby Jesus, God with us, as much as it is the Emmanuel of Colossians 3 and 3. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Both of them come into you. If any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So, is the father? I know we were all teenagers once, and we threw everything under the bed or in the closet, but is the father telling us to clean our room? Or is he cleaning it for us? Because you know what happens when the vacuum cleaner goes in there, that something comes out from under the bed or opens the closet and it's all there down on the floor. Why didn't you just put it over here? The hamper's 1 foot away. Anyway, clean your room. And do we have authority or not? Do you read that Luke 10, 19, and 20? And not do you read 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 and you don't clean your room? I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. And they go together because that's the flesh spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, the fear of God is in chapter 14 of Revelation. There's going to be some really good stars there at that time. Some moon glory people, too. I don't know if there'll be a three-quarter moon or a half moon or a quarter moon. But you're a quarter moon, you've got 64, 60-fold fruit. I don't know. You know, the moon comes in four full moon and 90%, you know, 99, you know. Then you got to go up the next step to 100. And then you go up from 30 to it's an upgrade to 59. And then you got to go up that step to 60. Three steps to heaven. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Or if you want to put the Son, Father, Holy Spirit, or it's still three of them. And we're immersed in all of them. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of His Word, and the water changes to wine. The baptism of His life. Newness of life when you come out of there in Romans chapter 6. And it comes from the Word. And it comes for the Word of, you know. The word of God is life too, and it's bread from heaven. The bread of life. How does it go there? Anyway, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me in my life. I was brought way down and you came and you left the 99 and came looking for me and you found me. And I just want to bear more fruit, Father. I just want to have a good crown when I come to throw my crown down before you. And only the immersion in this name can give it to me. And I pray, Lord, that you give it to us all and we would have what we need to have. Some of us might have 5 talents to gain 5 more and end up with 11 because you learn from other people's mistakes. Some of us might have 2 and gain another 2. And I know it's not as much as the first guy started with, but they're equal. And I pray, Father, that you would raise us up. You're the Father. You're in charge. We have to obey you. We want to obey you. We love you, Father. Lead us and help us, Father, because without you, we're nothing, but with you, we're everything. Thank you, Father. Praise
I have a question for everybody. What do you consider in your Christian walk was the defining moment of your Christian walk that allowed you to do the Bible? Not just read it, but do it.
I'm sorry, Michael. Can you repeat that?
I don't remember what I said. I said, what is the defining moment in your Christian walk that allowed you to do the Bible? Do what the Bible said. Joe, go ahead.
Michael, just before I try to answer your question, I would just try comment on what Andrew had said. I was thinking when I start listening of asking a question, but you already answered it, so thank you, Andrew. But the other thing is just very short on this. I met a guy yesterday, and I asked him when Andrew was talking about denominations. I asked him, what do you believe? He says, no, he started out as a Christian when he was growing, but when he's a teenager, he realized there's no God and something like that. He believes in reality. He believes in what he see and what he hear and what he's doing. So it was, I'm not sure, Paul, you've cut me quite short to explain or try to explain the gospel to him. So if he doesn't believe in anything, he's believing in reality. So that's, it was just very interesting. As a young guy, he was growing up in a Christian home when he decides for himself. He says, what do you base that on? Christianity means nothing to him. It's reality. It's what you see and you hear many people all around you. So that was just very, very interesting for me. And just to think about what he thinks about life. And so it cuts me short, and I said, okay, very much. Thank you very much. And I just left him. That's,
What are
but
you?
coming to the question of you,
Go
sorry.
ahead, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
But I think about your question is this, I was thinking quite a lot of things myself. And when I started so many years back at from UVM and started listening, my divorce changed my life. The Lord changed my life after my divorce, and I look and started the UBM and I'm growing. And it took me quite a few years to, because I wasn't so much in the Word. I was just reading and listening Sundays and Wednesdays, so on. I'm growing it. But I think my last couple of years, say for instance, 3 years, what changed my life about the 20 years I'd been with UBM. He says, last 3 years, it was this, for me, it's an example of people here in the outreach of talking and open up their hearts and their understanding. And that's what makes me believe is it's real people. It's not just made up friend, or I'm probably not doing the right word, but it's makeup. It's really true people. I'm not just saying it because I'm on here. It's really true people who live by what the word says. That changed my life in doing more and acting more on the word. So I'm still growing each day, perfected, but I'm still growing. Thank you.
Right. All right. I'll tell you something that I used to have to do in different denominations when I would go teach or preach at a church or a fellowship. I'd have to qualify what I was saying by telling them. Are asking the question, do you believe the Word of God is the Word of God? And if you don't believe it, then what do you believe? And if I come across something and you do believe the Word of God is the Word of God, and I come across something that I say that's against your theology, but it's in the Word of God. What are you going to accept? What the Word of God says, or what you believe? of what you've been told. I said, and if you go with the word of God, you're going to be in good stead. But if you go with what some preacher has told you and you've believed it, then you're in error. And when you do that, you can establish a basis for your standard. And the standard, of course, is the word of God. And if they agree with that, they can't disagree with what you say. Because if you're giving them the word of God, just like David has always done, he always makes his points with the word of God. And it's not just some kind of gobbledygook, but morality thing that they put on those things. So that's what I always had to do. And if I get to do that again, which I think I will, then we'll have to do that again, you know. But you have to qualify, you have to set a standard first. And if you've set that standard as the word of God, they can't argue with you. Unless you're a bunch of Jezebels. I'm just saying, I've run across that also. Okay, go ahead, Missy. What's your question?
Micah,
Yeah, Joe.
sorry, Michael, Messi, sorry, can I just ask Michael something before you, please?
Yeah,
Michael,
go ahead.
what could I say to that guy who says he doesn't believe, he only believe in reality and what he see? What could I say to that guy? What should I say?
Well, I had to think about that for a few minutes because, yeah, Julie.
Can I answer that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I guess in a nutshell, it's like, well, if you only believe what you see, that's not faith. Your faith is believing what you don't yet see, you know, and the supernatural is unseen. And what's unseen is more real than what you see in the spirit. Well, if you don't have spiritual understanding, they're not going to understand that. But some people aren't ready for that yet. But faith is believing what you don't yet see.
Well, I can tell you something that I would ask him, asking this now that I thought about it, Judy, is do you know anything about quantum mechanics? Do you know anything about quantum anything and how it operates? And if you don't, I can tell you a little bit about it. It's faith. That's what quantum mechanics is. Yeah. Judy, go ahead.
Just something else that I overheard a conversation between a couple people one time, and they were having a discussion, you know, they were very serious and very they were Christians, they were very young, but the person was saying, trying to describe faith to somebody, and it's like, well, you have faith that when you turn that light switch on, that you're going to have power, the light's going to come on.
Yeah, there you
You
go.
have faith. You have faith that when you sit down on that chair, it's not going to break or it's not going to collapse. You know, you're basing on, you know, something that you're just assuming. You see that chair, you can look at it and it's probably going to hold you, whatever, you know. But a light switch, when you turn a light switch on, you're believing, even though you don't see that electric current, but you turn that light switch on, that light's going to come on. There was just the differential, what you see in the spirit, you know, or what you can't see, but you believe it. Or what you see, you look at that chair, and if you think it's going to hold you by what it looks like, there's just a, you know, it's kind of like the difference between the two.
Okay, Julie. What you got, Missy? Go ahead, girl.
Well, as far as your question, what got me reading the word is more. I think it's very similar to what Joe said. I didn't quite catch all that he said, but realizing that, you know, hearing other things taught the things in the word, some things in the word taught differently than what I was taught, and questioning what I was taught. But that, that really overflowed majorly when I came to UBM, realizing that a lot of what I was taught was not the truth, and makes you want to get into the word and know the truth, and that is I guess in a nutshell what really got me to reading the Bible on a regular basis,
What I said was this, the question I made asked was this: what made you decide to go ahead and start doing the Bible, not just reading the Bible,
Okay, doing
start
it.
doing the Bible? What part of the Christian walk did you come through that that pushed you toward that doing part? And that's the question I had. Go ahead, Pat. Hey, brother, how you doing? I didn't expect to see you tonight.
I didn't expect to be here, but I got off early from my project here. I have to come in extra early tomorrow, but whatever. Anyway, so I just decided to plug in. One thing I was gonna say, can you hear me all right, by the way?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can hear
Okay.
you.
I'm on my iPad here, so it's something a little bit different. But my question, in Joe's, Joe asked the question, what would you say to the guy who decided, if I remember right, Joe, you were saying that he was a Christian and then he changed his mind, and now he just believes in reality, or excuse me, that's what he's calling it, reality. Is that what you said?
Yes.
So I think my first question to him would be, what was it that happened that made you decide not to believe God exists, but now you believe in what you define as reality? Something along the line, there was something along the line that happened to him that he, I mean, I know of a few people that, they went through a traumatic experience of some sort and in some way interpreted that that experience that God didn't come through for them, or God did this particular thing to them, or whatever it would be, whether it be through deception or misunderstanding or not knowing the Bible, not knowing the word, or whatever it would be, they chose to de they decided that, God either deserted them, or usually what it is they be is start believing there is no God, because it's easier to justify, your lifestyle, or your justify yourself if you can get rid of God, so to speak. But anyway, I think I have to in relationship, in relation to Michael's question, I think I have to thank the Lord. I know that there was a time in my life when I, began my Christian walk that I was, I always thought that I got shortchanged, so to speak. I'm just going to say, because I didn't grow up in a church. I didn't know the ropes, so to speak. I kind of had to learn that process on my own, because when I came to the Lord, it was outside of the church context. It was I was, it was as a result of God putting a desire in my heart to read the Word. And I know that in that time, I didn't even know what I was searching for, but I know that there was an incredible drawing and craving to know. And I'm just going to say that's, I just to know. I didn't, I didn't even know why I was reading. I was just drawn to it. And I was searching, and again, I didn't even know I was searching. I was just, digging into the Bible and trying to, I was following a craving. That's the only thing I can say. And when I became, came come face to face to that scripture that where Jesus said that I am the way and the truth and the life. I know I've told this before. It hit me at the time that Jesus was the way to the Father. And it was at that moment in time when, I don't know if you can say, I accepted God, I accepted the Lord. It was, yeah, I know it was a moment of prayer when I piled out of my bed and uttered a prayer that I'd never, I don't know that I'd ever prayed before, but it seemed to come natural when I piled out of my bed and I just simply said, Jesus, take me to the Father. And immediately that craving was gone, and I had peace. Now, it was, I remember when it happened that I thought I must have done something wrong because the craving, internal craving, was gone. And I didn't even know what peace was. I didn't recognize it when it was up upon me. But I always looked at that time, because once the Lord led me into the Baptist church, and I guess, the Lord was going to show me the ropes now. This is the way to walk. I want you to join here and plug into this and listen to me. And again, I always thought it that I was at a disadvantage, so to speak, because I didn't have that background in the church, and I didn't have, I didn't have all the things, I guess, the truths and the knowledge and all these things that that are in the church today, or that are, or should be anyway. And but what I did have is, I had a sensitivity for the Lord's voice to myself, and it, I had it was interesting. I had an automatic grounding or foundation or standard that was planted in me through the Lord's Spirit, that when I read or heard anything or listened to preaching or whatever, I would always reflect back and ask the Lord, you know, what do you mean by that? How does that work? You know, and because of that standard or that I mean, I guess I can only call it maybe a foundation that I compared everything with what the Lord was telling me that it meant, I guess you might say. It was like I always checked with him to see, you know, how does this fit? Because I'd never been in this religious system before. I've never been to into a church or a church setting. All this was all new to me at the time. But I guess the point being is that the Lord planted in me a love for truth. And I know there was you know, the first year that I was in, I guess, in the system, and I started getting, I'm going to say, a little bit discouraged, and I was starting to struggle with inner things within me, and things were coming to light, and I started to realize that in my discussions with my pastor and various other people, that the solution to my problem was either more prayer, more reading, more devotion, reading more, praying more. You know, it was always the same things. You're not praying enough. You're not reading enough. You know, how's your prayer life? How's your, you know? And it dawned on me that the truths, it wasn't until I was introduced to, I guess I was kind of scraping the bottom of the, I was hitting the bottom, you know, like kind of like a feeling like, Lord, I dove into this full force, 100%. You showed me beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was the direction you wanted me to go, but for some reason, I'm just not. I'm not catching it here. There's something that's not clicking. It's not working. This thing isn't working. You know, your word said I should be free. You know, I confess my sins and but I'm still struggling here. Well, the Lord led one of the people in the church to buy a well, let me just put it this way. I started I went to this seminar basically, and it was a ministry that was outside the, you know, the church. It was a ministry of the scripture and the Bible and whatever, and it was and in that process, I heard and read and saw many testimonies that were given in this seminar based upon the truth of God's word and an explanation about certain things related to God's word and seeing certain principles, and we can apply these principles to our life. And there are spiritual results that can be expected for doing these things. And I know I've mentioned this, probably before on the outreach call here, is that the as a result of that that time, the Lord led me through a process of time of wanting to cultivate a clear conscience before God, and a conscience void of offense, I guess you might say, and that process led me to a time of identifying places in my life or things in the past where I had offended people. Excuse me. And where my actions clearly had were wrong and offended people in various different ways. And of course, I sat down and made out a list and decided I'm going to go back and, talk to all these people, et cetera, and try to make these things right. And I just went through a whole process. Probably took me 6 months and I'm going to say contacting people and explaining, what I had done wrong. The Lord has shown me what I had done wrong and asked them to forgive me, and just took a whole process of doing this. And the end result, or the result of that, was that the Lord broke my heart. And he started, as I went to these people, I have to say that I don't know of any of the people that I went to that actually rejected what I said. Every one of them remembered the offense, and every one of them forgave me. But the impact was not on, I just lost my light, so I'm gonna turn my video off. The impact that it had upon me, because I was actually doing what the Word of God said. Go back to your to those and confess your sin one to another, that you may be healed. And in that process, the Lord just he started removing not the offense that I had done. Yes, he removed that. He cleared that up, but he removed the offense from my heart, which had a connection or a semblance of guilt connected to it, which I had never seen or never known about, or maybe got used to, or whatever. I don't know what it was. And he started slowly but surely, as I would go back to these people, he was removing the feeling of guilt within me and setting my spirit free, setting me free inside. And if I'm going to say that there was any time in my life when that impact so significantly changed my life, that was the time. Because as I continued on, and the I'm gonna, the only way I can explain it is maybe the sense of guilt was getting less and less and less. That's the only thing I can explain it, or the way I can explain that was happening. Though I didn't feel any guilt or anything like this, but I was experiencing a freedom that was bubbling up within me that was so liberating that it just seemed like the Lord's voice was becoming clearer and clearer and clearer as every day that I would go on and I would listen to him and I got so excited at that time about simply doing this word that I made it a point every morning I would get up and I would read Proverbs and I would read the Psalms, and I'd ask the Lord to lead me to a scripture today and teach me how to apply it, how to walk in it. How does this scripture work, Lord? What does that mean for me? And it got to the point where every day I would just read something, and then the Lord would demonstrate it the working that I was doing through the day. He would bring it back to my mind and say, "This is what that is," and I would see it in action, and it was so marvelous, and it was all because it all started with you have to do it. You have to go back. The obedience to his word is primary in order to experience that truth. And it's through the experiencing of that truth. I was thinking the other day about this, this concept that we always, we see the 30, 60, and 100-fold. And trying to think about, what do we actually mean there? What's happening there? 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it kind of came to me because I was thinking about the thief on the cross. I may be starting to babble and turn and go in another direction. I don't know, but I realized that the 30%, I may have, this may be totally wrong, maybe totally upside down, I don't know. But the thought was that the 30% Christian is that one who has received that truth, born again, received that truth in their spirit. And those that take this truth in their spirit and walk it out, learn to walk it out through their mind, speak it out. It moves it into operation in their life, and it becomes 60-fold because it's coming through their soul, spirit, soul, body. And when that truth of the spirit is brought through our soul and manifest, and the resultant actions are manifested through our body, it becomes 100-fold. Now, whether that's the truth or not, I don't know. It seems logical to me. But The thing is that in many ways, there are a few things in all of our lives that when we were born again immediately, we had certain things already functioning in the 60-fold. We had things that we just naturally walked in and functioned in. And I'm gonna say maybe they were gifts or whatever, but maybe they were just things that we naturally walked in. And it was already 60-fold. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'm starting to babble now. But anyway, it was that time when I was young in the Lord and went through that process of going back and submitting myself to that purpose, to His will in that purpose, and actually applying myself and to the point of interacting with people. And what it was no longer just simply a mind thing or something I was thinking about, but now I had to interact with people and actually do something that affected other people as well. So I don't know if that answers your question or if I babbled on through the whole process or what, but there it is.
Okay. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Now the question was, when did we start being a doer of your word, doer of the word, not just a
What was the defining thing in your Christian walk? If I started you on the road to doing the word of God.
Okay. Well, similarly to what Pat was talking about, like making things right with people, and the Lord would bring conviction. When because before I got saved, I was just living my life for me, and I God brought me to a place of brokenness, and that I didn't like who I was. I didn't know who I was, and I was desperate, desperate, just God to change me and ask Him to change me. So, He did do that. He answered that prayer. Of course, now in hindsight, I know it was all His sovereign plan and how He did everything. But, so learning in a humble place to be needful. And for God to help me and bringing the right people in my life to help me in different stages of that, but getting back to the Lord and going to church. And I was in this church for 5 years. It was a big church out here and stuff, but God used the people there. And He gave me a love for the word, and He started answering prayers. I got into Bible studies, independent Bible studies, and then group Bible studies and different things. And I kept asking the Lord to give me understanding, because I didn't when I was a kid. I didn't understand the Bible when I read it. And I just, if you don't understand something when you're reading it, why do you want to read it? So I got fed up with that and didn't. So I just told Lord, it's like, you know me. I don't know. I don't understand. Give me understanding when I read your words. So He was answering prayers, and I saw Him answering prayers like that, and He started giving me understanding. So when I started getting understanding, even if it was just the letter of the word, which is where we all start, right? Doing things and trying to get things right with people that I know that I was wrong, even getting the understanding that even like for, asking for forgiveness for sins that I did that I know I can't make right with the persons because they're already dead, but I still had to forgive them. Or I know that I couldn't go to them, but I still needed God's forgiveness. That kind of stuff, and just changing me. So when I got, it's really it's about spending time with the word, in the word, and praying. And I, did Bible studies where I had to take notes and I had to write down answers and to questions and Bibles, independent Bible studies. But I know that was God doing that for me. The journaling and that kind of thing, and I started seeing God answer my prayers. So he gave me faith that it's like when I prayed, I know he was going to answer, no matter what it was. And I saw him answer prayers, but not just my, not so much mine, even though I know he was, but it was like more other people that, we would get prayer. That was part of our group Bible study, was praying for each other. We would pray and seeing God answer. So that was like a stepping stone, really. But then just being obedient to the word, becoming a doer of the word, and really doing that is like when God started giving me more understanding. And I know I got filled with the Holy Spirit, even though I wasn't manifesting tongues. I know because I kept asking God for understanding and asking for things and praying the word and that kind of thing. So when he gave me revelation that it was time for me to leave that church, and I was getting resistance from people about things that I was trying to share with them, but God had given me light in, and they weren't agreeing with me. I still had to obey and leaving, and that was, that was kind of scary, but I did it by the grace of God and in his strength and encouragement. But I knew God, it was changing me. And so just it is is I guess there wasn't like an actual defining point. It was just when God gives you a revelation of something, and you're convicted by the Holy Spirit of, I need to make this right, or I need to stop doing this, or I need to apologize to this person, because I know I was wrong and I know I hurt them. And just all kinds of things. It's like, okay, I know that this, it's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's just being, having that gift to be able to hear, to understand, and the grace of God to obey when he's telling you to do something, no matter what it is. Whatever you see in the word that you know you need to do, that this is what God wants, and that you know it, and it's just following through with it. So there wasn't anything real defining for me. It was just, I know God just was changing, answering my prayers and changing me and giving me the understanding. And I know that when I left that church, I know that moment when I just know the Lord's, it was no turning back. It's like God's telling me to leave, and I need to do it. And no regrets. Praise the Lord.
I mean, okay, Missy.
Well, I guess you could say the defining moment of me wanting to do God's word, which is obeying, God's word, is I guess you could say initially that was when I really truly repented and believed in the Lord. Because, there were times when you go up to the altar thing and, accept Jesus into your heart and stuff like that. And, there were times when I did that in a sense over and over as a kid and stuff like that, 'cause I knew that's what I should do. But it wasn't the Lord, granting me repentance. It was just, because I wanted something from God. and that kind of thing. But when it really was the real thing, it was because of sin. I had the fear of God, and I knew that my works, my sin, had gotten me into trouble. And I didn't want the ramifications of that for one. And I wanted to, and because it was true repentance, not long after that, I would read the word, and the Lord would like for instance, convict me of how I would speak to my ex-husband, and the Lord said to me, well, I didn't like how he would speak to me, and the Lord says, well, you don't like when he talks to you like that. I mean, that's what the Lord put in my heart. You don't like it when he talks to you like that. So, it's just those were just like two major, things early on, that caused me to want to do the word, want to obey the word. Yeah, I mean that's just something simple. And then, as time goes on, the more you read the word, and the more understand what all God's done for you, as we recently heard someone say in a video, that the Bible is God's love letter, and my thought is, as we've all heard many times, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So then eventually it becomes a the loving God, is that motivation to want to obey him, to do the word, to for the Lord to be the word, be Jesus in the flesh, So anyway, that's it's like the more understanding I have of the word, the more I want to do it, because I understand why God has done what he's done, and it's all because he loves me, And that's a big motivation for wanting to do the word, to obey the word. And because I
You see,
love
I
because
can't
he
hardly
first
hear you.
loved me,
You're mumbling. Couldn't hardly hear you.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but I couldn't.
Anyway, so okay.
Just
Was
the
pretty
last
much done. Sorry.
minute or so, they couldn't hardly hear you. Okay, well, you know what I'm finding out tonight is that several different things that triggered people to get into the word and start doing the work. I was thinking, what I know what triggered me is when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, I was hungry. Good gracious. I was so hungry for the word of God during that period of time. But that was just me, you know. Okay, Jenny, about Ben, did you have something you wanted to share? I saw you had your hand up.
Yeah. I couldn't say that there was just this defining moment, because I always felt that as a progressive thing that happened to me. You guys probably know how I started, but I remember, like, even before I got that dream, I would say it was probably in a religious mindset. I even confessed to my mom, like, I think Jesus Christ is real. And then at my girlfriend at the time, I confessed it to her, and I told her, like, we can't be fooling around anymore. And then, fell back into the whole fleshly mindset. But then I got my calling and I got my dream, and then I progressed. I got my Bible, and I got that insatiable hunger that you were talking about, Michael. Like, I was constantly in the Word. Left my girlfriend that I was at the time. Stopped going to the gym as much. Didn't really see my friends as much. And I was just reading the Bible, Matthew to Revelation, Matthew to Revelation, Matthew to Revelation, over and over and over. And then I started going to a church. It was just a local non-denominational. And they were pretty good. but they're stuck in the world. And I kind of, again, the Lord pushed me, and he got me out of that. I progressed out of that. They weren't I wasn't getting, I remember I worded it pretty good to Dad the other day. I wasn't getting any cross lessons, you know, like no lessons to go to the cross. I knew Jesus was my savior. I knew I was forgiven. But what else? What else do I do? Am I just supposed to keep bringing people here and so that they can be stuck at where I'm at right now, kind of thing? And, you know, nothing bad against them. They're at where they're at, but they all just need to be shaken out of it. And so I came here with you guys, and then you guys started talking about Christ's spirit, God's spirit, how they're two totally different things. And I was like, what the heck's going on here? And then those who walk by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And I said, oh, so there's a participation going on here. And so I just progressed from there. And then I received my tongues. And then I just progressed from there to where I'm at sort of now. And it's just so I can't really say that like there's this defining point. I was stuck, I kind of backslid a little bit for a while. Not well, this was a while ago now, but you know, if anything, that sort of fed my fear of God. And yeah, you know, it's just a progressive thing for me. I can't put a date on it. March 21st, 2021 was when I received that dream. So I guess that's when I started doing the word, you know. I started trying to look for like-minded believers. The first group I went to wasn't that great, and then I tried another one, wasn't that great, and then I found you guys, and then from here on it's just been all God, you know. I can't really like claim that I've been he's been doing a lot of the pushing. I'll give him the glory for that. I gotta start being proactive of being like not being uncertain of what God wants for me. When I was in the beginning, I would cast a lot, you know, like two heads is a yes, two tails is a no, and then a head and a tails is an I'm not answering you this way. And so I've been getting a lot of I'm not answering you in this way lately. So I don't want to tempt God any further unless if it's something I really don't know. And I've been doing And I've been thinking a lot about a lot of stuff lately, so lots of prayers for that for me. If I'm ever in your thoughts for prayer, and yeah, so, but I'm expecting it patiently. This whole hunger topic is very interesting. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Judy's got something she'd like to, a song she'd like to share. I don't know if she's going to sing it or somebody else, but anyway.
I'm gonna sing it, but I have my mic off.
Okay. Well, go ahead. You're ready. Not very loud, dude.
It starts off quietly. It's piano at first, you'll get it.
a sign for them. Unborn babies testify. Carried between the earth and sky. Sons of eternity.
Her side. And we
Amen. What's the name of that song?
It's called Dear John, as in
Dear John.
like John the Baptist. John the Baptist and Jesus like having this dialogue.
Discussion.
Yeah, I just thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's pretty
Andrew, every
neat.
time you talk about First John and being, or John about being born in this, the spirit and the blood and the witness and everything.
Amen.
I always thought about that.
All right. Well, I guess we're out of time. Has anybody got anything before we clear out of here? We shut her down. Well, Father, I just thank you for placing it in all of us to run after you with all our hearts, to cry out for spiritual hunger in our hearts, Lord. That's something that seems to be lacking a lot of times in my walk, Lord, and I just ask that you up it a notch or five. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Spiritual hunger. I know that when you have spiritual hunger, the Lord does mighty things. All right, good night, y'all. Bless you.